fan back. That was very nice. All right. So the government is shut down, huh? You guys notice any difference? I was just curious. They have a group of World War II veterans out in Washington, and they were forced to move some barricades from the World War II Memorial in Washington because they wanted to go visit it. Of course, with the government shutdown, you know, they're trying to kind of keep them out because it's a national monument. And I got to reading that story and thinking about it, and I thought, wait a minute, that's a national monument, right? Who owns that? We do. Why does the government get to shut it down just because they don't go to work? I don't know. It's crazy. But these World War II veterans are out there, and I think they're moving forward with their visit anyway, and so it's kind of causing a stir up there. I just thought it was pretty funny. A couple of bunch of World War II guys, they still got a little bit of spunk left in them. That's good to see. Yes, brother. I hadn't heard that. Why am I not surprised? Secret Service, really? All right, open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Philippians. Probably has drones flying over them, armed. Recording them. The NSA is monitoring their... Well, my grandfather had a cell phone, so probably monitoring their cell phone calls. Oh, man. It's a crazy world we live in. Philippians. Now, when we think of the book of Philippians here, we usually think of some pretty more common things in the book of Philippians. We think of Philippians 4:13, which says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that's always a very comforting verse and something that we kind of associate with the book of Philippians. We think of Paul saying in chapter 4, verse 11, I've learned in whatsoever state I am that therewith to be content. That's a good one to get a hold of and remember. Amen. We think of Philippians 4, 6, which says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That was a pretty common verse. We think of 4:7, it says, and the rest of that passage in our mind, it kind of flows through. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Great verses, and they kind of get you through some pretty difficult times in this life. Amen. But I got to reading through there, and I picked up for tonight just four other lessons, just four simple things from the book of Philippians that I thought would go over tonight. I don't know how long this is going to take. I don't know how long Marcella's got before her lesson is finished back there, but we'll get started here. Let's take a look at chapter 1, and we'll start off by reading the first part of the book of Philippians. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you, in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Let's bow for a quick word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you again, and get ready to open up your book. And Father, I just ask you to set me aside and maybe glean one or two things out of here that might be a help to your people. And Lord, if that's the case, then this will be a night well spent. And I pray, Lord, that again, you'd just help me to get some of the thoughts and everything that seemed to run through my mind here today across in a coherent manner. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So you get down in Philippians 1, and you get to reading through, and you read, like in verse 4, a simple little thing, thinking of you brings me joy. Here's Paul talking about the Philippians, and his thought towards his brethren in Philippi was that thinking about you, you know, brings me joy. He says, our fellowship and our work have bound us in a way that nothing else can. And we experience that around here. I mean, you sit back on a day-to-day basis and you get to thinking about some of your brethren here in the church and some of the good and fun times that you've had together and, you know, some of the things that you've done, some of the crazy stories that, you know, that you've shared amongst each other. And there is a fellowship. There is a bond. There is, you know, you get to thinking of some of the work that you did together. And, you know, there's nothing that builds that camaraderie like getting out there and laboring towards the same goal and building that up. And Paul's going through that. And he says, you know, my prayer is that you grow stronger in love and knowledge and judgment. And he says, so that you can lead and be an example until Christ comes. I'm just kind of paraphrasing, going through those first 11 verses of Philippians there. But the idea is Paul's sitting back here, again, he's in bonds, right? He's in prison, thinking about the Philippians, and it's a joy to him. And he's thinking all these things about his brethren. And he says down there towards the end, and that you will be righteous and fruitful for the glory of God. What a blessing. And you know, I was thinking about it, that's the standard everyday thought that we should have one towards another. You know, we should be sitting back thinking about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and those types of things should be running through our mind about that person. It should be a joy when we think about one another. It should be, you know, there should be a bond. There should be that special kindred, that kinship that we've developed because of the work that we've done together, the projects that we've done, the trips we've been on, the tracks we've handed out. We should be in prayer one for another. You know, help brother so-and-so to continue to grow stronger. He's doing real good. Give him strength. You know, lift him up. Help him to grow in knowledge and wisdom and judgment. And you know, because one of these days, brother so-and-so is going to be a leader at something. You know, Paul's probably sitting back there in jail thinking, well, I'm in trouble here. Who knows how much longer I've got left. But these guys are what's coming up after me. You know, someone's got to take the reins. Someone's got to stand up and you know, get up to the plate and take a swing. And we should be thinking about that, about one another. And he says, I want them to, I want them to live a righteous life. And I want their life to be fruitful. I want their life to, you know, to bring glory to God. And brethren, you know, that's how we should be thinking about one another. Now, the thing is, Paul right now is going through a storm of his own. Right? Paul's going through a storm in his own life, and he's sitting back thinking all these really, really lofty and high and, you know, some pretty spiritual high things for the people that he loves and that he knows. But yet here he is, you know, in trouble, in bonds, and who knows what's going on. You know, he's probably riding that roller coaster and he's pretty much, you know, taking the downward ride and getting ready to do a 360 and, you know, a loop and then another dive down the tracks, and who knows what's going on in his life. But yet he's sitting back thinking about this, thinking these things about his brethren. I thought, what a blessing. Amen? Amen? What a blessing. You know, read verse 20 and down. Look, take a look down at verse 20. It says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Very familiar passage. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet What I shall choose I want not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And then that famous verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. I got to thinking of this. I just titled this, you know, Four Lessons from the Philippians. And the first lesson is something that we hear over and over and over, and I repeat it over because it just never ceases to be impressed upon me. Lesson number one is just simply this. Brethren, we need each other. I mean, here's Paul, you know, potentially going through a really dark time, a really dark hour, and his thoughts and his prayers and his focus is on everybody else and how they can grow and how they can be fruitful and how they can wind up becoming leaders and how they can do all these things for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's sitting back there and he says, hey, whether I live or whether I die, whatever. I mean, he's facing death, right? And he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. It says, it's not up to me. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. So here you have Paul in a situation where he just assumed die and get out of here, right? That thunder a little bit earlier. Yeah, let's go, right? You ever been there? You ever been to the place where you've been going through a trial or a struggle or a, you know, tribulation, and life has got you down and you're just really kicking and struggling, trying to fight and rise above this thing? And you know what we have a tendency to do? We have a tendency to change our focus to us and our own problems. I mean, it's human nature. We all do this. When we get to thinking about, I got to do this, I got to do that. Oh no, what about this? What if this happens? Oh no, here's something else I got to take care of. And when we get so self-consumed, you know what we forget about? We forget about the brethren. We forget about the brethren. Lesson number one is just simply this. We need each other. Here's Paul in a place where he's ready to die. He might die. He's thinking to himself, I might die here. Really, I'd prefer dying. But he says, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You ever been there? When you're down, when you're going through one of those trials, one of those roller coaster rides where you hit the bottom and then you start doing that spin and you're going, whoa, your equilibrium is all off. You don't know which direction your spiritual life is going. And you start doubting yourself and you start being, you know, worrying about everybody else. You ever been to that place and then still have the unction to have your thoughts and your prayers be to the good of everybody else around you? We need each other. We need each other. That's the place where we should get. I mean, you know, Paul's saying, let me get out of here. Even so, come Lord Jesus. But then Philippians 1:24 pops up. And in the midst of all that, it says, even though I'm going through this turmoil, and even though my heart may be afraid or broken, even though I may be in a rut, even though I may be in a position where things are just going absolutely terrible in the flesh, my thoughts and my prayers are towards you guys. And you bring me joy when I think about you. And here's what I want for you. And here's what I pray for you. Man, we need to be like that. We need each other that way. Listen, no matter how bad your life is, maybe even right now, no matter how bad your life is, no matter what kind of turmoil you're going through, listen, you're needed by somebody else around here. Amen? You get to thinking that because I'm going through a really hard time and because I'm struggling, because I'm having all these, you know, these thoughts run through my head and I'm maybe not doing so well spiritually, or maybe, you know, the flesh is getting the best of me. You get to thinking, well, they don't even want me around. Brethren, that ain't true. That ain't true. Man, we need you around when you're in that state more than ever. And you need to be around when you're in that state more than ever. And when you're in that state, you need to be in the same place that Paul was at, thinking, you know, how can I pray for somebody else? How can I pray that they will grow, that they will be strengthened, that they'll be uplifted? And get your mind kind of off of yourself and on everybody else. Brethren, we need each other. Paul's ready, you know, potentially ready to die here, wishing he would die at the very least. And yet he's sitting back writing to the Philippians, and all his thoughts are about strengthening them, encouraging them, lifting them up, praying for them, taking joy over what they did. He's not sulking in his solitude. He's not sulking in the solitude. Amen? You say, what should you take away from this? Listen, no matter how bad it gets for you personally, you got to remember there's a whole bunch of people around here that need you. And we need each other. Listen, things come up. Things come up and, you know, you get crossways with the brethren or you do or say something stupid or they do or say something stupid. And, you know, it can, if you're not careful, it can wind up in a great big, huge, you know, fight and instance. I didn't think that he was going to be here, but it's in my notes, so I'll go ahead and say it anyway. But he went on the, I have to apologize to Aubrey too, but went on the Moldova trip, right? And Aubrey had a little incident over there on the Moldova trip. And it wasn't bad. Turned out, in the grand scheme of things, turned out okay. But there was a guy who was kind of creepy, kind of hanging around her, watching her and following her and, you know, making excuses to come back and be up close to her and asking her if she's married and all this kind of stuff. And so a little, you know, just, I mean, how many of you experience that on the street? It happens, right? So anyway, she was, you know, obviously a little apprehensive. And then went to the meetings a couple of days later, and this guy shows up again, starts following her around. And she winds up getting really kind of creeped out and really kind of nervous about the whole situation. And so she related to us, probably in confidence, and I probably got in big trouble, but she related to us what was going on when we got back. And, of course, I'm dad, right? I'm dad. What does dads do when something like that happens to their baby girl? Ooh, dads don't like this very much at all. Dads get typically kind of hyper. And so I got kind of hyper, and I kind of did the typical overreact type thing with Brother Dave the other night in the office. And, you know, because, again, what are you thinking? You're thinking, what on earth is going on, right? So I did the typical overreact thing on Dave in the office, and what an idiot, right? I mean, where's my confidence? Where's my faith? And then what I have to do, I got to give him a call a little later on the phone. Dave, you know what? I was a jerk. You know, I overreacted. I got out of line. I didn't think very logically. And really, everything was really on my fault. Everything was really, you know, because you get in that mentality. You know, you want to fight. I want to kill somebody who's available. Since the other guy was all the way over in Moldova, I had to pick somebody close. Unfortunately, Dave was in the office. You know, but sometimes we do that. And, you know, I got to thinking about that. I called him back and apologized. I said, man, you know, I was a jerk, and I shouldn't have jumped on you like that. It wasn't your fault. And, you know, we get this thing going on sometimes when there's fightings and disputings. You know what I realized? You know, we need each other. I thought about that, and I thought about it afterwards, and I got to thinking about all the things that happened and the whole situation. You know, you step back, take a few quick breaths, and kind of relax a little bit, count to 10, see what's going on, and you realize, you know, the Lord was able to take something like that, even in a little tiff, and work in so many different angles and so many different ways, and correct so many different things in so many different people's lives all at once. It's amazing. And I got to thinking, you know, in the back of your mind, you regret something like that happening because, you know, you hate shooting off at the mouth when you shouldn't be. But in retrospect, you look back and you go, you know what? We needed each other. At that time, you know, Dave went home. He was obviously pretty down because I just yelled at him. And that's never any fun. So I realized, you know, we needed each other at that time. We needed each other. It wasn't a matter of how long can we keep this fight going. It was a matter of we were in a situation here where you got some turmoil going on, and the need that we had at that moment for one another was incredible. I needed to be able to see where I messed up He needed to be able to see that I messed up. Everybody's happy. And you go through that whole process, and you handle it right, and you do it right, and you know what you realize? You walk out of that thing, and you're more concerned about the other person than you are yourself. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. You know, one of the things I saw in Philippians, you know, one of the points I just picked up out of there going through that whole thing is, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. We need each other. And if we're going to abide here in the flesh, sometimes we're going to have to realize that's because it's more needful for somebody else. And you got to be willing to go there even when you're on the roller coaster ride heading down. Amen? So we need each other. Number two, the second thing that I picked up, and I just kind of picked one out of each chapter. It's four chapters. That means we don't have 27 points. But we must work it out. Take a look at chapter 2, and let's take a look in time. I don't know how time's going to go, but we'll start on chapter 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Whoa, that's a tough one. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So he goes through there in chapter 2 and he says, you know, be of one mind, be of one accord, no strife or vainglory. None of this, you know, hey, look at me, look at how well I'm doing, right? Lowliness of mind, esteem other better than themselves. Take care of the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Humility, you know, verse 5 through 11. Just a humble humility thing. Let this mind be in you. Your attitude should be there. And then with all that, he says in verse 12, we're told, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I have to stop here for a moment. I received a joke from my wife the other day about working out. And it shows a man standing dressed in probably 1800s, 1850s type suit. You know, the stripes with the vest underneath it. And he's got his top hat on. He's got a pipe in one hand. He's sitting there, suspenders coming down. And he's got this full gray beard like they used to have, if you can imagine, picture that in your mind. And he's standing there, and he's got a rather large belly, of course. And he says, I exercised once, but I found I was allergic to it. My skin flushed. My heart raced. I got sweaty and short of breath. Very dangerous. I don't know why my wife sent me that comic, but... But, you know, back to Philippians again, one mind, you know, one accord, no strife or vainglory, lowliness of mind, taking care of the things of others. Let this mind be in you. That is, you know, that mind of humility and taking care of all those things. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I always kind of had a little bit of trouble with that verse and didn't quite get it. Because, you know, everybody everybody talks about works for salvation, and obviously we know that's not what it was talking about. And it always just struck me, the wording of it for some reason just struck me kind of odd. And the explanation that I've always heard, in fact I wrote it down here in my Bible, something to this effect, is that your salvation is on the inside and you need to work it out, as you know, as in work it to the outside. Okay, that's nice and it kind of worked, but it never really just set. Never really, I don't know. Something just didn't, I didn't understand it. It wasn't clear. It didn't click with me. To be honest, I kind of always equated that explanation to someone who was trying to explain James 2 when he says faith without works is dead. When they say, you know, well, faith is on the inside, but really if it's really there, it'll work itself out and you'll see the good works on the outside. You know how they try to kind of jockey around the James 2 faith and works thing? I always kind of got that general impression with this verse here in Philippians, and it never, I don't know, just, it didn't click. But, so I was thinking about this verse, and my skin flushed, and my heart raced, and I got sweaty and short of breath. Oh, very dangerous. I was thinking about this verse, and whatever reason, the light bulb came on, and Paul's in here in verse 2, or in chapter 2, well, chapter 1 and 2, but he's been going through this whole list of things that he desires for the Philippian Christians. And then he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And for whatever reason, it kind of clicked. And here's how I thought about it. I imagined a black belt standing there. And I imagined, this black belt had been deficient in certain areas as far as the expectations of a black belt. You know, things like integrity, discipline, humility, hardworking, you know, continually trying to improve and learn on his physical skills. And I imagine this black belt was, kind of deficient in some of those areas. And he's standing there with his instructor, and he's failed in several areas. And the instructor basically sits him down and reminds him, what is a black belt supposed to be about? When you think of a black belt, what do you think this person is supposed to be? And then his instructor then reminds him of his failures in those areas and says, you got some things to work out. You got some things to work out inside of you. You got to figure out who you are and what it is you're all about. You know, you take this black belt and, you know, you list these qualities that's supposed to be the black belt, and this guy's not, you know, not living up to those expectations. You look at him and you say, you got to get your act together. You got to go get some of this worked out. You got to work out some of these things and think about what it is you're supposed to be and then come back and then be those things. For whatever reason, that clicked. That clicked with me. It says here, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, we got all these things, these lists that... that we talk about, and what a Christian should be, all these character traits. And the truth of the matter is, we fail on a lot of them. You know, some of them we struggle with harder than others. And Paul's just going through this whole list of things, and he looks back down at these Philippian Christians, and he says, okay, you've done pretty well, but, you know, you got a few things you got to work out still. Amen? There's a few things left in my character, in my life, and in my Christian walk that there's a few things I haven't quite got to where I need to get, and I've got some working out left to do. Say, what do you learn? You know, what do you learn? The second thing I learned, just wanted to pull out from the Philippians, is basically, brethren, you got to work it out. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're struggling with. I don't know what, you know, if you were to list 100 things that you think a Christian should be, I don't know how many of them you think you would fulfill, but I bet there's some on that list that you'd go, I need to work out on some of those. I got a few of those things I need to be working on. And listen, we need each other. We need each other through thick, through thin, ups, downs, you know, turmoil, no turmoil. We need each other. The second thing is just simply, there's just some things in the Christian life we got to work out. It's like that black belt who's sitting there and he's deficient in certain areas of what we expect a black belt to be. Doesn't mean, listen, it doesn't mean he's not a black belt anymore. doesn't mean I take away his belt and give him a white belt again and make him start all over. Right? He's still got the title. He still holds the rank of black belt. But some of those actions that are supposed to be associated with that rank, they need to be exercised a little bit. They need to be, you know, they need to be worked out a little bit. And brethren, that's where we find ourselves in the battle. We need to work some of those things out. Like I said, I don't know what it is. You know, for the black belt, maybe it was integrity. Maybe it was, you know, lack of leadership. Maybe this black belt didn't have the indomitable spirit that a black belt should have. That is, I'm not going to quit no matter what happens. Right? Same type of thing in our Christian life. What is it that you need to work out on? We need each other, that's for sure. Second thing, listen, we need to work out. We need to work it out. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Amen? Makes all the sweat and the heart racing worth it. Makes all the sweat and the heart racing worth it. Philippians chapter 3. Again, just a few simple things we need to be reminded of. We need each other. Listen, we've got to work out some of those things that we associate with a Christian in our own lives. And number three is a simple and easy one. Probably even goes without saying, and that is just simply this. Listen, we never arrive. This journey that we're on here, we never arrive. It's a constant battle, and it seems like every time we get an up, there's a down, and an up and a down, like we talked about like before. We never arrive. Now, you know, I could go into all the attitudes and all the different things that Paul's been going over, pride, humility, true forgiveness, never quitting. But at this point, I just wanted to bring to light another simple little fact that we as Christians always need to be aware of. And take a look down at Philippians 3, verse 15. Philippians 3, verse 15. And it says this. Let us, of course, us, right? Let us who are perfect. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect. That's us. What a blessing. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if any man, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. God shall reveal this even unto you. You know what? We never arrive. And you know what? I ran across verse 15, and here we all sit, and we're in a good church, and we've got a King James Bible, and it's real typical to think we're perfect. We're in the right place, the right book, the right preaching, the right time. We do the right stuff. We have, you know, we go to the right events. And that's our mindset. But it said, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I got thinking about it. You know, that's about par for the course. For all the stuff we do right, for all the beating our chest and standing up and touting all of our good stuff, sometimes we're other-minded about some things. You know what the blessing is? And God is always there to tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, you're doing really good over here. Phenomenal. But what about over here? Amen? Yeah, you witnessed to that person and, you know, or you went out and 12 people got saved on visitation. Yay, but what about over here? Right? We did all this stuff over here, but what about all that over there? You know, the Lord's good. The Lord's amazing. He's amazing. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything, you catch that part? if in anything. I mean, if you got one little minute little character flaw that's hiding down there underneath the cracks that nobody else knows about, or if you got a major, major, you know, crack in the foundation, if in anything, ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So let me ask, what has God been revealing to you lately? Because we know what we're supposed to be. We know where we're supposed to be going, what we're supposed to be doing. But certainly there's got to be something that maybe you're not minded like God wants you to be minded. If in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Don't sweat it. The Lord will show you what's wrong. You know what the temptation is? The temptation is not to listen. See, the Lord's going to show us what we need, even from a bad sermon. You ever go to a boring, bad sermon? But there's something in there that gets you. Amen? The Lord's going to show you what you need. Listen, the Lord's never done working with you. Now let me ask, what has He been working on you on? Because if you don't know, if you think you're doing fine, you miss something. You miss something. Listen, we never arrive. We never get there. We never attain. Take a look back in verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may also apprehend, for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. We never get there. Just a simple little thing out of the book of Philippians. We never get there, but the Lord's there and He'll show it to you. Amen? What a blessing. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Yep, it seems like the longer I live the Christian life, the more God has to reveal to me. Seems like the list gets longer and longer and longer. You know what the bad part is? Sometimes that list doesn't seem to change. Or repeats things that we already got knocked off the list a few years ago, right? Yeah, just about the time we think we're in control. Many times I think I've just gotten smart enough to hide it better. Ever been there? You didn't really change it. You were just able to hide it a little bit better. And the Lord will show you that too. Reminds me of Romans 2, you know, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. You ever been guilty of that? Amen? I hate it when that happens. There's no shortage of it, but I hate it when that happens. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same? That thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impotent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God? Impotent. What does that mean? I looked it up. Very simply, not feeling regret about your sins. You know how I know I've never arrived, or I haven't arrived yet? It's a never-ending process. And that's because I keep catching myself getting annoyed with somebody else only a couple days later to turn around and figure out, you know what? I just did the exact same thing. How many of you do that driving? Right? Somebody goes through and they cut you off too close when they're changing lanes. Whoa, you dumb idiot! But you're in a hurry. I got room. Boom! Yeah, altar call. No. It's simple. We need each other. Hey, listen, we've got to work it out. There's some things in the Christian life, brethren, that you just got to exercise on. You got that list, and you got to work those things and some character flaws. And then, of course, we never arrive. But the Lord's good. He's always there to show us what we need to fix, what we need to work on. And if we could just keep driving out of the whole equation, it would be a great thing. Did you ever do that? You ever catch yourself getting mad at somebody in church for doing something, only to turn around and realize you did it yourself to somebody else? Yeah, we got to work on that one too. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And finally, the last thing for tonight here, again, it turns out to be a relatively short night. That's good. Just four things from the book of Philippians. Number one, we need each other in a lot more ways than what we realize. Number two, we must work it out. There's just some things in our Christian life that are going to take some time. They're going to take some effort. They're going to take some exercise. Your heart's going to race. You're going to get sweaty. It's going to be a trial. And you just got to work it out, brethren. You just got to fight it and battle it and work it out. Number three, we never arrive. There are just, you know, by the time you get some of those things worked out and you get some things conquered, you know what? The Lord's more than happy to show you something else, the next thing in line you can work on. And trust me, you won't run out. You won't run out. And finally, the last thing, chapter 4, take a look at verse 1. We'll just read a few verses in Philippians 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And then down in verse 9 it says this, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. The final thing from Philippians for tonight is just simply this. You know what? We will always, always be an example to somebody else. He said down there after listening to all those things, he said, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You know, we always got to remember throughout this whole thing, whether you're on the peak or whether you're in the valley, is there are people all around you watching you, and they're seeing things in you. Good and bad, because we are who we are, but they're seeing things in you. Brethren, we're always, always an example to somebody else. Everything you do, everything you touch, every time you open your mouth, every time you don't open your mouth, every time you show up, every time you don't show up, every time you're victorious, every time you're a failure, every time you're on a spiritual high, every time you're on a spiritual low. Kind of goes back to point number one, we need each other, but brethren, we're always, always an example for somebody else. Paul said there in verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. You know what you want to be able to tell the folks around you, your kids, people around you? Those things that you've seen in me do. What a testimony that is. Those things that you've seen in me do. Now, I'm not saying that for me, because you guys would be in big trouble that way. But you know where you want to be. You want to be able to say that. Our testimony, who we are, what we're made of, what's on the inside, not just what we say, but what we do, the things that you've seen in me, do. Final thing from the book of Philippians is just simply this, brethren, somebody's always watching. And we're an example to somebody, no matter where we go and what we do. Amen? From the youngest among us to the oldest. You watch the young kids. Don't they pay attention? Well, Johnny did it. Well, Susie did it. Even to the adults, we watch each other. We're an example no matter what we do, where we go. It's a good thing to remember. Romans 14 says this. It says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself." Amen? Four simple little things from the book of Philippians. One, brethren, we need each other. There's some things that we just have to work out in ourselves. We'll never arrive at that spiritual plateau where we've made it. And number four, we'll always be an example to somebody else. Good example or bad example, we'll always be an example to somebody else. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for a chance to be here tonight, and I know that probably could have spent some more time getting some of these thoughts together and maybe collated a little bit better. But the truth of the matter is, Lord, it's the simple things in the Christian life that sometimes we don't give enough heed to. Lord, we do need each other. Lord, you put us down here as a single body, and there's a reason for that. Lord, there's some things in our lives we just have to work out. There's some struggles and battles we have to fight. Give us the strength and the energy to be able to do that. Help us to realize, no matter how far down the Christian walk we get, Lord, we've never really arrived to where you want us to be. Lord, help us to remember that whatever's going on, there's always somebody watching us. There's always somebody that we're an example for. And help us to be the type of example, Father, that'll bring you glory and honor, and that the name of Jesus Christ would be magnified and raised up and not drugged through the mud. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's grab a hymnal and open up to number 308. We'll sing a final song, number 308. Pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. evening here. Wish you all the best. And the middle section is like really empty. There's people all on that side, all on that side. And that's really wild. All right. So please remember to be in prayer, especially remember Brother Stevens and Sister Kim, their grandmother about ready to pass away. Everything that entails. Just ask again that Brother Stevens be able to fit into his schedule. You know how that goes. So, anything else before we go? Alrighty, guys. Have a good night. You're dismissed.